Well, what a happy looking place today. Just we had a $50 donation come in this week for the children, so we're up to $28,500 for the children in Philippines, which is wonderful. That's really great, and we're excited about what God's doing there. Now, if you've got your Bible this morning, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 103, which we've talked about on several occasions. And the message that's been in my heart over the last few days to share with you is simply this: don't forget his benefits. Don't forget. See, it's so easy to forget. We forget some of the things that the Word says. But if you will start to meditate on the Word of God, begin to look at the Word of God, begin to establish the Word of God in your heart, that's when you start to reap the benefits. That's when things begin to happen. And you know, not just do you get the benefits, but the Word says they start to overtake you. They catch up with you and they overtake you, and you find that you're moving just forward into blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. You know, we've already given thanks profusely to the Lord this morning, and I think that's wonderful. But you know, I think you need to realize this morning that God loves you personally. God had you in mind before you were even, if I can put it like this, a twinkle in your father's eye, before your parents ever considered thinking about having you. God already had you in mind, because God planned you from before the foundation of the world. He had it all planned out. He had everything organized. He loves you. He wants you to be blessed. He's made provision for you to be blessed. And when we come to Psalm 103, we begin to see some of the things that David has put down here. And I just want to read a couple of verses to you to start with. In Psalm 103, verse 1, 2, and 3, just as a beginning, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." All that is within me, every part of you, everything, every fiber of your being ought to cry out blessing to the name of the Lord. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases." And he goes on, and there's much more that he says there. So if you want to live a fulfilled life, if you want to live a life of blessing, then we need to start and do what David did. We need to start and think like David thought. We need to start and get ourselves to the place where we're saying, "Bless the Lord." Talk to yourself. Amen. David's talking to his soul. He says, "Come on, soul, get up, do it. Bless the Lord. And don't forget all of his benefits." Now, if you're not enjoying the benefits and the blessings today, I'll tell you right now that there's probably two reasons why that's the case. And the reasons are really quite simple, and it's amazing how many people are not aware of them. But the reasons are this: number one, either you don't know, or number two, you've forgotten. That's why David says, "Forget not." Do not forget all these benefits. So these are the two main reasons I see anyway why God's blessings aren't manifested in most of our lives. We're missing out on them because God's word is full of blessing. Every word in this Bible has blessing for us. We need to take advantage of all of those benefits that are available to us, all the blessings that God has for us. We need to take advantage of them, but we need to start and say them. We need to say, "This is what the word says. This is what I believe." David, he says here, like he's sort of prodding himself, you know. It's like he's poking himself. You know, sometimes when you've listened to Naomi, she'll be saying things like, "I had to talk to myself in the mirror today." How many of you remember saying that? You have to, come on, wake up. What does the word say about you today? You need to talk to yourself. And he's talking to his soul. He's saying, "Come on, soul, don't forget all these things." He heals you. He forgives all your iniquities, all of these things. And he lists them all down here. So he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." To bless means to say good things about the Lord. But you say it in a spirit of admiration and appreciation and gratitude and wonder. We say, "Thank you, Lord." Our words are so limited. We're limited in what we can say to eulogize and say, "God, we appreciate you." Because you could never, not in your whole lifetime or 100 lifetimes, communicate to God how much you appreciate him. He is just beyond our ability to do so. And David, he begins here saying, and remember, this is King David, who the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart, and he had his problems. But he begins to say, come on, soul, get up, remember, here's all these things, remember these benefits, don't forget them. And if you read down through that, and we're not going to read them simply for time's sake today, but if you read down through from probably right through to about verse 19, you'll find a list of them. Now, I've put together this little yellow sheet, which you can pick up afterwards. I've got about 20 or 25 of them there. And I've listed 30 blessings that he names in this psalm. Forgives all our sins, heals all our disease, redeems our life from destruction, crowning with loving kindness, crowning with tender mercies, satisfies our mouth with good things, and so all the way down. So you can have that afterwards, and you can meditate on the psalm yourself and read down through all of those verses and see what God is doing for you, just as David said here. But you know, when he gets down to about verse 19 or 20, he's not satisfied with all the things that he's saying. And then he said in verse 20, he says, bless the Lord, ye his angels. He's now crying out to the angels, it's time for you to start blessing God too. And he says, bless you the Lord, all his hosts. And then he says, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all the works in all places of his dominion. In other words, everything, everywhere should bless the Lord. And this is, we've got to come to that place. Let me read verse 2 to you again in the Message Bible. It says this, O my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. Don't forget a single blessing. See, he's talking here about how good God is. And he's thanking God. He's reminding God. And it is God's will and his good pleasure to bless you and to bless me. That's all God wants to do. He just wants to bless us. He just wants to bless us. You know, some people seem to think that it's you know, well, God blesses some people sometimes. No, he's made provision for every one of us, every person in the world, to be blessed all the time. And if every person in the whole world, and think about how many billions of people are in the world, if every person in the world plugged into the blessing of God right now, at this moment, here it's Sunday morning, but, you know, other places, it's other times of the day or tomorrow or yesterday or whatever. If everybody plugged into all the blessings of God, you know what? The lights in heaven wouldn't dim one little bit. Wouldn't cause God's power to be exhausted. He has more than enough. But you know what? I'll tell you something this morning. It's not enough for you to just intellectually, you know, in your brain say, well, I know that God wants to bless me. You need to take this word every morning and inoculate yourself. That's a good word, isn't it? You know, when the children are born, the system says you must take your child to the doctor or to the nurse, and they give the little needle and so forth, and so that they don't get this or that. We need to inoculate ourselves with this every morning. As soon as you waken up, you need to take a good dose of the word. I mean, before you get your scrambled eggs and toast, you get into the book, get some of the word into you. And when you start to do that, and when you begin to look at them, and you begin to say things like this, God, I just want to bless you. Bless you because you bless my water. You bless my food. You take sickness away from the midst of me. Everything about me is right because you are my God. You are my healer. You're inoculating yourself with the word, and you're speaking it out of your mouth. And you're calling those things that be not as though they were. I like what, if you were here on Tuesday night, and if you weren't there, well, you missed out. But Naomi was talking about being prepared. How to prepare. And she was very good. I enjoyed it. But one of the things she said, she talked about the garlic effect. If you were here, now, if you weren't here Tuesday night, you got no idea what that is. But Naomi said, you know, if you eat raw garlic, it gets in you, and then it starts coming out again. Coming out through every little pore in your body. And everybody you come in contact with knows you've been eating garlic. When she said that, it reminded me, because I've got a very sensitive palate and a very sensitive smell. I can smell, you know, very sensitively, and I taste things very acutely. I can have a sense of smell and a sense of taste. And one time, Elizabeth had to go to a specialist a few years ago. And when she went, I went with her. We went to the specialist's rooms. As soon as we opened the door of the rooms, and I mean, there's a big reception area and then his room's somewhere down in the back. But as soon as we opened the door to go into reception, I said, "Somebody's been eating garlic here." And she looked at me like, "How do you know that?" I said, "I can smell it." We came in, we sat down, and about 10 or whatever, 15 minutes later, we eventually got in to see the specialist. As soon as we went into his room, which is now probably as far from here to where your car is parked from the reception area, the first thing he said was, "I hope you'll excuse me, I was out last night and I ate garlic." I mean, I could smell that in the reception. As soon as the front door opened, somebody's been eating garlic. I looked at Elizabeth and smiled, and she just smiled too. See, we need to be like that with the Word. You need to get the Word so much into you, you need to eat it daily so it's coming out of every pore in your body, and every person you meet is touched by the Word of God. It has to affect them. How come you stay healthy? Do you really want to know? Have a little bit of my garlic. Share a little bit of your garlic with them, the Word of God. Just share things. You can tell them. See, all of the blessings of God belong to you and to me right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to sit around. Get this list that I've prepared for you and meditate through this Psalm 103 when you go home and when you're doing your own studies. Psalm 103 says, "Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities." Interesting. All. Not one or two, not a few, but he forgives all our iniquities. See, a lot of people live their life worrying about their past mistakes. "Oh, I did this and I did that and I did the other. You know, I made this mistake, I made that mistake." And sometimes people can't forgive themselves even though God has already forgiven them. We keep on thinking about, "Oh, well, I shouldn't have done that. If I had my life to live over, I wouldn't do that." Well, you learn as you go along. But you've got to forgive yourself. Listen, you need to get past your past and get on with your future. Because you'll never enjoy the present while you're still in the past. And you're never going to have a future while you're still in the past, because you have to enjoy now to be able to get to there. It's a progress. So get past your past. In Jeremiah, we're coming back to Psalm 103. Just let me take you to a scripture in Jeremiah. Jeremiah's Elizabeth's reading. In her Bible reading, she's actually, about halfway through Jeremiah at the moment. She reads two chapters of the Old and one chapter of the New every day. And she's already got through all the New Testament and she's working her way through the Old Testament. But in Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, it says this, Jeremiah 31, 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all know me. For from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more." Hey, that's good news. I will remember their sin no more. He cast it into the sea of his forgetfulness. God, once you say, "God, I'm sorry, I mucked up, I made a mistake," he'll say, "Okay, that's fine. Receive the forgiveness and forget it." Because he's never going to remember it again. There's only you and the devil who's going to keep bringing it up. But don't you remember when... No. That's not the case. When the devil tries to remind you of something, what you should do is point him to Calvary and say, "Hey, look at that. That's where you got defeated." And you know what? He'll leave you alone. See, once you begin to know what the Bible says and begin to walk in, the devil will stay away from you. Because if you meditate in the Word of God, and as you give yourself over to the Word of God, you, out of that submitting to God's Word, you're able to resist the devil, as James says. And as you resist him, he'll go. He'll flee, as James chapter 4, verse 7 says. He'll flee in terror. Extreme terror is what the transliteration says. So here we are. God says, "I'm not holding anything against you. I've already, all of the sins that that you've committed, they've already been put on Jesus at Calvary. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Just receive the forgiveness and walk in it and know that you've been forgiven. But not only that, he goes on and he says, forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases. See, so many times as Christians, Christians forget that God has already healed them of all their diseases. They're not walking in the blessing of healing, even though it legally belongs to them. Maybe some people here this morning, I don't know, you know, God may be talking to you. See, now think about this. Any of you who've sat under my teaching for any length of time would probably be able to quote Isaiah 53, verse 3, 4, and 5. You could probably be able to quote Matthew 8, 17, 1 Peter 2, 24. All scriptures to do with healing, because we teach on healing a lot. But you know what? There are just so many truths to some people, but they never actually experience the outworking of them. I can quote them, you know. I can quote, you know, 24 verses on healing. It's wonderful. But it's one thing to know them, but it's another thing to act on them. Another thing to have them work in you and become part of your life. For example, 1 Peter 2:24. There you go. By his stripes, I, King James says, was healed. As Fred Price says, if I was healed, I is healed, and if I is healed, I am healed. So, but see, that's a past tense situation. We need to say, thank you, Lord. I believe that when Jesus went to Calvary, he took whatever this sickness, this difficulty, this physical, whatever this physical thing is, he took it for me. He bore it at Calvary, so I don't have to have it. I don't have to carry this cancer, this diabetes, whatever it is. It's already been taken care of. It's already done. You know, I talked regularly, I suppose, in the last few years with a woman who used to come here. She doesn't come anymore. And she was always having difficulties with her health. And I would say to her, well, look, this is what the Bible says. You know, we have visited with her and I've talked with her. I've taken the Bible and I've said, let's look at what the scripture has to say about what you're telling me about your body. And then she'd come back with, but I'm waiting on God. And I was on the phone with her one day. This is probably 6 or 12 months ago, I suppose. She says, I'm telling God, hurry up, God. And I keep saying, but it's already done. He's not going to do anything more than he's already done. If we are saying, God, hurry up and do it, it means that Jesus is going to have to come back from heaven, come back down to earth again, be crucified again. And he's not going to do that because he's all done it once. It's a once for all, never to be repeated sacrifice. It's already done. It's past tense. It's done. It's finished. It's settled. As far as heaven's concerned, it's already done. Now, some of you know who Corrie ten Boom is. And I read some of her stuff when I get opportunity. And I found this quote of hers this week. And I like this. This is what Corrie ten Boom said. She said, "Dear Jesus, how foolish of me to have called for human help when you are here all the time." Now, I'm going to say that again. That just gets in me. "Dear Jesus, how foolish of me to have called for human help when you are here all the time." I like that. Think about that next time you think, oh, I better go talk to the doctor. How foolish of me to call for human help. And I know the doctors are there and God has given doctors the ability to do all the things. And listen, I look around this morning, probably just about everybody in this place, you'd be dead if you hadn't been to the doctor at some stage. They've been able to save your life. But you know what? Dr. Jesus. He is the physician. We need to take his word. See, you can go to your local doctor, and I think it's wise that you do, because if you're not getting, listen to me, if you're not getting healed by faith, you will die in your doubts. So we say, thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I bless his holy name. You have to come to the place where you understand that Calvary is a finished work. And that's one of the things that that lady I was talking about, she didn't seem to understand that, that Calvary's already done. It's finished. You can't add to it. It's a completed work. He's already provided everything for us through Jesus going to Calvary. It's already done. Don't forget all his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. You see, sickness and disease is a work of the enemy to keep you out of the blessing of God. When we begin to read through this psalm and begin to look at it, let me just read a couple more. Verse 4, he redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, there's so much in all of that. Do you understand that things like cancer, Alzheimer's, dementia, what else can we talk? Age, all of that. There's no goodness in any of those things. There's no blessing in any of those things. The only blessing that comes out of them is the doctor makes some money. Because he's got to do the operation on you or whatever. And he's making his money because of sickness. Thank God. Do you realize that doctors are really only there for people who don't know how to get healed by faith? Let's get down to the brass bones of it. Doctors are there to save lives, and they do a wonderful job, and thank God for them. Thank God for the doctor that saved Elizabeth's life. We prayed and believed God. God gave him wisdom, and he saved her, and that's wonderful. But you know what? You talk to Elizabeth sometime. She'll tell you why it happened to her. You talk to her, she'll tell you. The reason why she had a brain aneurysm was she had fear. Fear in her life. Just a little bit of fear. Not very much, just a little bit of fear. And because that little bit of fear got in, it's like a little wedge. And as it gets in, it just opens up and opens up and opens up and opens up. And she ended up having a brain aneurysm. But she repented. And here she is today, better than she was before. But he says here, the reason he does that, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again this morning about the eagle. It's an interesting bird. And the eagle, when it gets to a certain time in its life, it goes up into a little crag or like a little hole in the top of the rock away at the top of the mountain, and it gets itself into a little area there and just sits in there and sits there and sits there and sits there. And as it sits there, it begins to pull all its feathers out. Gradually, 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 it pulls all the feathers out of its breast and out of its wings. After a little while, it takes its big sharp beak and it cuts its talons off. And still sitting in this hole in the rock. Now it's got no feathers and it's got no talons. Then it puts its beak into the little crack in the rock and it breaks its beak off. It's now sitting like an oven-ready turkey. It's got no feathers. It is defenseless. But it's in the rock. Christ is the rock. While it stays in the rock and just sits in the rock and doesn't do anything other than just stay in the rock, new feathers grow. New beak grows. New talons grow. Doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Gradually, 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 its youth is renewed. And it's able to take off from that place. And it goes up as a newly created eagle. Are you following what I'm saying? When we come and get into Christ, we divest of ourselves. We put away the old man and put on the new man. And we are new creations in Christ. And he says he renews our youth like the eagles. God wants you to be able to, how can I put this? I'm trying to think of a word. To operate and fly at a high level like an eagle. The eagle flies way, 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 way up. It's not a bird that's sort of low flying. It's very high flying. And it has very piercing eyes. And it can see from high, high up. And it looks down. It can see a rabbit or whatever prey it sees where, and it can swoop down and get it. God wants us to be new creations, like eagles, up there. But it comes as we spend the time in the book. Let me just give you two more scriptures here this morning. I think are important that you understand them. One is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says this, Hosea 4, 6, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." That's God's people. They perish for a lack of knowledge. Another one is Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. And it says, "My people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." See, so knowledge, Isaiah 5, 13 and Hosea 4, 6. The problem, folks, is this, that people go to church and they listen to the sermons that people like me say and teach and do all of that. But that was a nice message. That was a good message. That was an exciting message. That was a wonderful message. And as soon as they go out the door, what did he say? It's gone. God wants us to not forget the benefits. We need to be people who are able to remember. Thank you, God. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my banker. You are the one who takes care of all of these things. I'm going to walk in all of the things that you've made available to me. Get these down in your heart. Start to get a hold of this Bible. I mean, get these scriptures. I mean, basically all we've done is talk about two or three verses in Psalm 103, and it's taken us, 45 minutes? Start to read through some of these scriptures and begin to get them in your heart and begin to understand them and appreciate the fact that God says, "I will take away all your diseases. I have forgiven all your sins." Let that become real. Begin to fly like an eagle way up there. Begin to get up there where God is. See life from God's perspective. I taught a message a long time ago. Some of you may remember. Probably most of you weren't around, maybe other than maybe Russell and my own family. And it was called "The View from the Throne." See, where are we seated today? Ephesians 2:6 says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And where's Christ? He's seated next to the Father. So we need to see life from God's throne, because that's where we are. But see, we get all caught up on what's happening in our little corner of the yard. You know, well, we have this problem and this difficulty, and such a one said such something, and so it goes on and on and on and on and on. No, 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 forget all that stuff. Just get up there where God is and say, "Thank you, Lord. I'm viewing life from your perspective. I'm seeing life from my position in the throne room. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm looking down." And when you begin to look down, you find that sickness is so small and so insignificant that God doesn't even see it anymore. Start to get that going through you. See, poverty is so small and insignificant when you start to look at things from God's point of view, He doesn't see it anymore. But it's big because we're looking at it down here instead of from up there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Some of you are not sure about this. We are seated in heavenly places. We're looking down. Do you remember Naomi gave an illustration? Again, I'm going back to what you said on Tuesday because she said some good things. Naomi talked about reality. But this is reality. We live here. Yeah, we do. But the illustration she gave was, if you go out at nighttime and you look out there and you can see the stars, you look up and you see the stars. I mean, that star is just, it's like a little speck. I mean, you could cover it with your thumbnail easily. But the reality of it is that the star is bigger than the earth. We need to turn things around, get up there where God is, and start looking down. And you'll find that from God's point of view, the problems that are so big here because we're faced with them, they're insignificant from His point of view. Do you understand what I'm saying? So begin to forget all the problems, but don't forget the benefits. Leave the problems go. Leave the sicknesses go. Start to live in the Word and live from where God is. living from the throne, wonderful place. So I trust that today that you will make a choice that you're not going to be robbed of the blessing of God. God has so much for you. He is more for you than you're able to contain. God has more blessings for you, so don't miss out on the blessings. And I trust that you will take to heart what I'm saying and also pick up the little yellow sheet from us later. We'll be at the table out there. We love you. We appreciate you. And Russell's going to finish off for us and receive today's offering. Thank you, Brother Russell. Praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Amen. Bless his holy name.